Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
I want to encourage you. We already heard about Abraham, right? We heard about Abraham. He had to wait for a promise. Now, here's the weird thing about the promise that Abraham had to go through. Abraham was given a promise. How many of you know this year we're talking about synergy, taking territory through synergy?
Yeah.
Do you know that Sarai was barren because it was impossible to have the creative synergy in order for there to be a promise without a miracle happening in Sarai? Mm-hmm. There, a miracle had to happen for the promise to come to pass. Right, so we see that in Genesis 12, Abram gets the promise, they head out, right? Genesis 15, meets God again, God makes a covenant, look at the stars. Here's what he's like, but I don't have anything. Like, I don't have a kid, I don't have a son, I don't have houses, let Ishmael live. And it was like, no, that's not my plan. So even when Abram tried to mess it up, God didn't rescind his promise.
Amen. Oh, say it again. That's good.
When Abraham tried to do it himself, God didn't rescind his promise.
Come on.
How many times? We think that because we took it in our own power, we did it wrong, well, that promise must be dead. Mm-hmm. That's not how God operates.
Come on, amen.
He's on a whole different level when it comes to time, when it comes to energy. So, there's a promise that I think God has for us today, and it's in Isaiah 54, and I think that the backdrop of Abram and Sarai, and Abraham and Sarah, as they get named later, I think that there is something powerful about this, because I'm going to tell you just a couple of quick things. God's faithful to his promises.
Amen.
I'm going to also tell you something maybe a little controversial to the entitled American church. But promises require tests. Mm-hmm. Promises require tests. And God's promises should cause you to lay hold of hope. All right, so Isaiah 54. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Before I read it, many of you have had a promise and you have believed God for some things in your life. And you've been waiting. You've been waiting. Some of you have just been waiting for a touch of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been waiting for an encounter. You've been waiting for someone that you've been praying for his heart to shift. You've been waiting. You've been praying and you've been waiting. And in the moment, you may consider yourself as Sarai, consider herself as barren. I've been praying, and God, I've been seeking you, and I know that there's a promise, but somehow I haven't seen the fulfillment of the promise yet. How many of you would say that that's you this morning? Just raise your hand. That you've got a promise you've been waiting on. I think many of us, where we know God longs to do something and I'm waiting on the Lord. That's a good place to be, by the way. Right? We get like a little like, I want it now. No, like we just wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord. So let me share this with you. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren. You who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. The reason why I think that this scripture is really important for us today is because in the areas and in the places where we are waiting on the Lord to fulfill a promise, sing.
Come on.
In the areas and the places where you're waiting on the promise, sing. Sing, O barren one.
Yep.
Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Listen, part of your breakthrough as you walk into destiny is your worship.
Amen.
It is in your worship. Listen, God did something amazing with Abraham. Put the dude to sleep and made a promise with him. Put him to sleep. And God made a covenant between him and himself. I'm going to fulfill this thing. I'm going to make a covenant. And of course, Abraham's asleep for the whole deal. You can sing in the midst of barrenness because God has made the promise and he is always faithful to his word. But Pastor, how would I know if that promise is really from God, or is it? Can I just say that you will know that a promise is from the Lord as you die to yourself, as you lay down your entitlement to the promise?
Yeah, come on.
Entitlement, I think, is a key word for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because many of us, I'm a son of God, I deserve it. Oof. You know, we don't deserve nothing. He is gracious and merciful and gives freely as his children. But we cannot be entitled.
Amen.
So we humbly come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When God has given us a promise, we know that it's him. When we've died to our flesh and we've said, God, I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give the promise to you. This is part of the testing. See, promises require tests. And guess what? You're going to be tested before you get it and after you get it.
Uh-huh.
See, Abraham was tested before he got it. Can you wait? Can you wait on me, Abram? Can you wait on me? And I'll go ahead and make a promise to you, and I'll change your name. Before you ever even have the promise, I'm going to call you the father of many. I'm going to call you Abraham. Even when you don't actually have any children, God will begin to give you a new identity. He'll begin to speak into your life and then ask you to steward something that you don't possess yet. That's a test.
Uh-huh.
It's a test to steward his word over your life before you even can walk in it.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
He asks you to act as if it's real today.
Yeah, come on.
And part of how he does that is he redefines who you are. He says, Christopher, you're no longer just a young man doing your thing for a short period of time, but there's a destiny out here. And because you are going to be that man of God over here, that's a father, that's a husband, that's all of those things. If you don't know Chris, he's young and single. So, father, husband, all that. Like, this is who you are. Now, the test is, can you live like that today?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Come on. There's a promise that he's been given, and yet he's got to steward that. That's a test. Steward the word of the Lord over your life. What does God say? We have to steward it before. And then, of course, the test will come later. After all the things happen, uh-huh. How can you steward that? Can you let it be the Lord's then as well? Is this making sense? So we know that his promises are true and he's faithful to his promise, but then we also have to recognize that it will require testing. We don't like that. We don't want it. Because our flesh wants it now. And I shouldn't have to steward a thing that I don't have. But let me tell you, the test is required in order for you to carry it. You can't carry the promise until you've proven you're faithful to carry the promise.
Right.
Are you guys hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, so the point of all this is to recognize that there are things in your life that God has promised for you. And you have to ask the question today, who am I? God, what are you saying about me concerning that promise? And how do you want me to steward the promise? Who am I? What does this have to do with my identity, the promise? Because he renames him in order to get to the promise. In every area where you've believed a lie, God has a new identity for you, right? Because oftentimes we have a lack of faith, or we desire that entitlement of, I want it now, I want comfort, I want safety, I want security, I want all of that now. And God doesn't promise that.
Right?
He doesn't promise it. He says, if you're with me, you're safe. If everything around you falls apart, but you're with me, you're safe. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what?
Thou art with me.
Come on. So he says, that's your safety, is with me. It's a test. Can I be a son of God and walk in his presence in the midst of crisis, in the midst of turmoil, and steward who God says I am?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, how's it impact my identity, and how do I steward it? Okay? Now, of course, I want to just say that God comes through. Amen. Somebody say it. God comes through.
God comes through.
He comes through. Hallelujah. See, the whole point of in Isaiah, 54, is this, like, he's got this really cool, like, all right, so break forth into singing, you barren, and oh yeah, by the way, before you have the kids, enlarge your tent. God is going to invite you into action, invite you into things that will look foolish, like Noah when it had never rained,
Right. Building
a boat in the desert. This will make no sense. The reality is that God is going to ask you to expand your territory and enlarge your tent before you see it realized. He's going to ask us to expand the entryway before we can fit all the people through. He's asking for us to expand territory before it's real. Right? Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Don't hold back.
Amen.
Lengthen your cords. You shall expand. Go ahead. He says, go ahead and expand your tent. Expand your cords. Get all that stuff. Get make the space, because you shall. He promises again, you shall expand to the right and the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations. Who's he talking to? The barren one. Sing, O barren. You haven't received the promise. Enlarge your tent. Increase your territory. You're going to grow. It's going to come. Your descendants will inherit the earth. I want to close with this. As we step into some of these actions that God asks us to take, and we decided to do that as a church in one little area of just, okay, by Christmas, time, we're, you know, going to raise close to $43,000 for the revised entryway, right, to remodel that. One of the realities of a step of faith to expand into enlarged territory, one of the realities is that God, when we do that, what he does is he produces hope. His promise produces hope. See, Abraham was able to continue on the journey by himself in the desert, even after Lot leaves, his cousin leaves, and they're still going through the wilderness, waiting on a promise. God comes and says, hey, listen, 1 year from now, you're going to have a child. 1 year from now, you're going to have a child. There is some hope that we need to endure 20 years. There's some hope that you need to endure. And Sarah was a little hopeless. She's like, my time done passed. She's in her 90s. This isn't going to work. She chuckled. I think it was Jesus sitting with Abraham. Jesus says, she laughed. Why are you laughing? My promise is true. My promise is true. My word is true. That thing that I promised, it is true. I just want to encourage you with a verse out of Psalms, a couple verses out of Psalms, Psalm 113. When Israel went out of Egypt, sorry, I'm going to read the right verse. Verse 7, Psalm 113, verse 7 through 9. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. I feel like that's for some of us right now. I'm going to say it again. He raises the poor out of the dust. And he lifts the needy out of the ash heap that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home. Like a joyful mother of children. There's hope because he's the one who lifts. He's the one who fulfills. He's the one who makes it happen. He made the covenant with himself. He'll put the barren woman in a home and allow her to be a mother of many. Will you stand with me as we close our time this morning? It is time to lay hold of hope because his promises are true. We can do a lengthy study on all of the personal promises in Scripture that God makes to his children. To those who believe on Christ, the promises are exponentially huge. I mean, it's amazing. We can just read Ephesians 1 and 2 and just promise, 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 promise. He's promised. But I believe that for each of us, there's something that you've been holding deep in your heart that he wants to give you some hope, because you need hope. In Genesis 15:6, the verse says that after God made his promise again, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let us believe God. We have the righteousness of Christ, not of our own merit at all. There's nothing great. There's no awesome I can bring to the table to make me more righteous. I can live out of holiness because I honor the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We live holy because we honor the Lord. Right? And I want a depth of relationship with him. I never want to do anything that hinders my relationship to God. And yet, the righteousness I receive by faith in God. So let us believe the Lord. Let hope be renewed in your heart this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person that is here. We thank you for those personal promises that you've given each one of us, even if it is a simple scripture that has held us down, that has helped us see clearly. We thank you, God, that in all of these processes, in this place that we are today, that your word is true and that you are faithful and you will fulfill your word. We repent for avoiding the tests. Forgive us for not letting you test us. You'll never tempt us to sin, but you prove our character. And we thank you, God, that you teach and you train and you discipline your sons whom you love. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that we would embrace the test before the promise so that we'll have the character to carry the promise. Father, I thank you that for each person that is here, you're renewing hope in their heart. And I say, hope arise in you. Let hope arise in you. He is faithful and true, and he will never tempt you or test you or put you in any position that you are not able to overcome, that you are not able to fulfill it. So we just declare, God, that you're empowering your people today to fulfill the promise, to fulfill the test that it takes. Thank you, God. Renew our minds as we crucify the flesh. And we bless your name today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.